Praise the Lord. Something I was hearing the Spirit. Who is that person that was, the way I heard it, all you wish is that the day you will step here, there's one question you want to ask me, and it's like, this is your first time of coming here. I want to give you that opportunity. Who is the person?
Praise God.
What is the question?
I came on Monday, but before then, I said, whenever I will come here, there is a particular question I will ask.
That's what I heard in the Spirit. Let me hear the question now.
Okay, praise God, sir.
Yes, let me hear you.
Sir, I am from Catholic background. But since I've been hearing this Bright TV, but the first day we hear it, you are calling them a church. And we say, why is this man calling church names? The second, we argue it in our house. The second day, the other day, I put it up. Gradually, you are saying, I say, oh, it's like something is happening here. The light is coming. Uh-huh. It's coming. Oh. Uh-huh. From then, I said, one day, I will visit this Lagos and renounce my baptism, which I did on Tuesday.
Clap your hands. Yes.
There are other things, but there are one particular one in Catholic worshiping. I want to really begin follow up. And that one is this one. In Catholic Church, there are one of the, they call it Holy Sacrament. Around it, something like cross that our priests used to carry when they want to do benediction. They will carry it on the hand and show it, then you genuflect and you go. So I want to know, is it biblical?
Praise the Lord. If I want to be sincere with you, that question should be directed to the Catholics. I don't know why you choose me to ask that question, because the Catholic religion is not my religion. I am a Christian. They are Catholics.
Sir, but you are throwing light on us, which we are in there. We are beginning to see the light.
What is the light? I am saying, come back to the scripture. Come back to the Bible. Be guided by the Bible. If you see anybody doing anything in a church, so that you will know, you will ask them, can you prove this from the scripture? Why you do this? So why will I answer something I don't practice? I am not a Catholic, so I will refer you to the Archbishop of... Where are you coming from?
I'm coming from Bayelsa State.
Bayelsa, there is an Archbishop there. There are Catholic priests there. Go there and ask them. And if they don't prove what they are doing by the Bible, then you know they are false.
Finally, sir, from last year, I began to follow up online. There was a day you are explaining the history of Romans, and he made mention of
Mariolatry.
Yes, sir.
Yes. What's your question?
I want to know more deeper, or if in case any book pertaining on that place, for me to know more detail about.
Mariolatry is the exaltation, deification of the woman, Mary, the mother of Jesus. The act of deifying her is Mariolatry. And it is a Catholic doctrine, and we say it is contrary to the scripture. That's all.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you. Yes, sister.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you.
My name is Nenna Kalujan from Benue State.
You are welcome.
Thank you, sir. This question has been disturbing me. I say one day if I come here, I will ask
today,
pastor.
Yeah, today, thank God.
So, it goes like this. I went to Abba in Bright Assembly there. So, after the preaching, they did us baptizing in the name of Jesus Christ. Then, I saw different thing in that church that they say a woman is not right to sing in the church.
A woman should not what?
sing in the church. That a woman is forbidden to sing in the church. I was wondering, why is it like this? But if I'm watching you people online, I'll be seeing women singing, and I love singing. But the thing is, I've been confused. I say I will come and ask, is it wrong for a woman to sing in the church? That is what the pastor in that church was preaching, that it's not good for a woman to sing in the church.
Praise the Lord. Listen very well. This is very important. Now, the church you went to is not Bride Assembly. It's not Bride Assembly. We don't have branches. But I know what you mean by that. You mean there are also inter-message believers who also claim to be the bride of Jesus Christ in this age. They bear all manner of names. They are followers of the teachings of William Branham, like we do. And they are supposed to be the inter-message believer, the message that God delivered to Christians in this age through the ministry of William Marion Branham. But the truth is this: anywhere a true light shines, Satan will rush there. This true gospel that God gave us, Satan has raised carnal people holding the same sermon books and the same precious message that God gave through William Branham, gathering people and saying all manner of things to quench the light so that people will not enjoy the benefits of that message. There is nothing in the Bible that will stop a woman from being used by God in any way other than leadership of the fivefold ministry of Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11. God can use a woman in any other way, but a woman cannot be ordained into those five offices. A woman, there are 9 spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Both men and women can operate in the body gifts. A woman can prophesy. A woman can have the gift of the word of knowledge. And God can give a woman a message for even the pastor. And it has not broken any scripture. Their lack of understanding of verse 34 of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, let the women keep silence in the churches. The silence there does not mean they cannot say amen, they cannot say praise the Lord, they cannot shout hallelujah, and they cannot give testimony or give special number. It's a wrong understanding of scripture. So you went to that place. The only thing that they can give you in that place is baptism in the name of Jesus. After that, they have nothing more to add to your faith. Get out of that place. It's not the true church of Jesus Christ. God bless you. Yes?
Praise the Lord. In my church, where I used to worship, because I used to worship there so that I would come and meet your preaching, because they used to close by 11 o'clock. So, in that church...
Sorry, by 11 o'clock, the second service or fourth service?
First service,
the first one,
where I used to worship, because I like listening to your preaching.
Okay.
So in that church like this, maybe if we have new members, they will call them out that if you have not received Holy Spirit, you should come out. If you want to speak in tongue.
Yes, I'm hearing your question.
So the pastor there will tell them to start speaking. So all of them will start just speaking many things like that. So I want to ask, because I've been in that church and I'm confused. I want to ask, is that a right thing to do? To teach somebody how to speak in tongue?
It is error. It's nothing like that. Listen, sister. Listen. And listen, church. This is one of the confusion that Christianity has gone into that necessitated this end time message. They believe, the Pentecostals believe, that speaking in tongues is the evidence that you have received the Holy Ghost. Because everywhere in the New Testament church where we see the baptism of the Holy Ghost, there was speaking in tongues. Therefore, they made a doctrine of it and then took it so far until they begin to teach the people how to speak in tongues. Now, every spiritual gift is unctioned by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. If you will teach somebody how to speak in tongues, because 1 Corinthians chapter 12, tongues and interpretation of tongues is one of the 9 spiritual gifts. And you cannot teach anybody any of those spiritual gifts. It is God that chooses which gift to give you and unctions it. If you teach somebody how to speak in tongues, then you must teach somebody too how to see vision. Praise the Lord. In the Bible, everywhere you saw speaking in tongues, from the Acts chapter 2, they spoke in tongues as the Holy Ghost gave them utterance. It is a supernatural manifestation when the power of God comes upon you. And everybody cannot speak in tongues. It is a gift. Praise the Lord. Well, those of you who listen to our broadcasts from around the world and those of you who come here, every year in the month of June, we have this program for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's a week-long program. We take time to teach what the Holy Ghost is and what the Holy Ghost is not, to remove the errors. And please, the topic of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the most important sermon from the Bible. Because the Holy Ghost is eternal life. The Holy Ghost is the hope of glory. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you will never go in the rapture. And you are not born again until you have received the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And the great mystery that you must know as Christians is that there is the anointing of the Holy Ghost and there is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They mean two different things. That you can be anointed with the Holy Ghost and yet you may not have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And that is why Apostle Peter says, because many are called, few are chosen. He therefore says, be diligent to keep diligent to make your calling and election sure. Because many are called, few are chosen. And I preach another message that I titled Salvation by Assumption. Pentecostal preachers and these evangelical churches, they teach the people to assume that they are saved. And that is dangerous. You will understand what I'm teaching after the rapture has taken place. You soon discover that you are a member of a church. Everybody in the church may have known you. Your GO and Archbishop and General Overseer may have known you. But some of us, the church knows you, but Jesus doesn't know you. Because in Romans chapter 8 verse 9, he said, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of his. Praise the Lord. You are a Christian because the Spirit of Christ is in you. And it is not by assumption. You will know. If there is a process, there is an action that takes place, that you will know you have received the Holy Ghost. It's not somebody that will tell you you have the Holy Ghost. You will know you have the Holy Ghost. You will know the day, the time, the hour it happened. It's a process. Praise the Lord. So he's not speaking in tongues. Forget it. It is part of the deceit of Satan. So, and that is the spirit of this seventh church age. That is that horse rider in Revelation chapter 6. The fourth rider, hot rider, on the pale horse, the pale horse rider in the book of Revelation chapter 6. It is a spirit of deceit. And God countered that spirit with the eagle anointing in Revelation chapter 4. Praise the Lord. That's why the eagle is our symbol of our faith. It's an anointing, he countered it that enables us to see far. That's why we say our eyes of understanding he has opened up at last. And so victory is ours, who are chained up in the past. Through jubilee and sounded, and we have responded to our God, whose original life. God bless you. Thank you very much, my sister. Look, be careful about the tongue you are speaking. Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he said every tongue has a meaning. And now you are saying something you don't even know the meaning, yet it has a meaning. You don't know what you are saying. It no go better for me. It no go better for me. It no go better. You don't know what you are saying. Maybe that's why your condition never changed. Every time, you don't know. Maybe in the spirit, you are saying nothing will work for my life. I'm not going to marry. I'm not going to marry. You don't know what you are saying. So be sure that the tongue you are speaking is the tongue of the Holy Ghost. And the evidence that it is the tongue of the Holy Ghost is that you cannot sit down and say, Kai, make us speak in tongues small today. Since morning, I never speak in tongues. Oh. Nothing like that. All this mumu Christianity, stop it. That is the entire message. Ask your neighbor, are you in the message? Ask everybody around you, are you in the message? See, you heard the pastor from Port Harcourt. He heard our message. And the first thing he did, he said, all the women at the altar, he said, come down. He told his wife, I repent that I ordain you a pastor. From today, I deordain you. Where is he? Praise the Lord. He's not the only one. They're everywhere. Sunday school teacher in his church for years. Where is Yakubu? Where is Brother Yakubu from Gombe? See him there. Brother Yakubu from Gombe. Come now, come. There is a statement you made that when I remember, I just keep laughing since you left my office. And then you made a statement. You say, how did you describe you? For how long did you, were you a Sunday school teacher in your church?
Bible study leader.
Okay, Bible study leader.
For years, yeah.
For how many years?
For 9 years.
9 years?
Yes.
And then suddenly you jam the bright television.
Of course.
You describe it kindergarten or something like that.
Yeah, I understand that all what I'm doing before is like you send your kids to nursery school. They're teaching him Abia, Omahia, Adam, Ayola. You understand? He's discussing it. But you don't know what he's saying. But when I describe Bright TV, God opened my eyes. Each and every scripture I read, God is giving me the revelation.
He said it was like kindergarten. They are teaching them some rhymes, but they don't know the meaning. And yet he was in charge of Bible study for 9 years in his church and knew nothing until his eyes were open. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Sorry, there's a question on the screen. From Kaduna State, Oladele from Kaduna State. Must a minister of the gospel marry a virgin? Praise the Lord. I know where he's speaking that teaching from. It's another group of the followers of the ministry of William Branham. One of these nonsense they put up and down. Nothing like that. There are two words that I want you to understand concerning holiness. There is fornication and there is virgin. There is the physical and there is the spiritual. Now listen, there is fornication or adultery. What is it concerning adultery? Adultery is a man or a woman that is married to her, lawfully married to a husband, and goes to meet with another man. It is called adultery. And bring it spiritually, every Christian, we are married to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you leave Jesus Christ and live and go into any form of idolatry, into any pagan form of worship, in the spirit, you are a fornicator. In the spirit, you are committing adultery. Praise the Lord. Who is a virgin? Matthew chapter 25 gives us the parable of the 10 virgins. Who is a virgin? A virgin is a woman that is betrothed to be married and does not allow any other man to defile her before her marriage. Spiritually speaking, we are betrothed for a spiritual marriage to the Lord Jesus Christ. And every believer, the day you give your life to Christ, you remain a virgin. Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ, we marry only virgins. Why? You will not allow yourself to be contaminated by any form of doctrines. You will not allow yourself to eat any kind of food anywhere. You will allow yourself to join yourself to any false setting. You will make the word of God alone. You will not be contaminated. That's why you hear Apostle Paul, just this, see the way he put it. See the way he put it. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 from verse 3 or so. Let's go to start from verse 1. He said, I would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. Verse 2. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to who? To Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So you understand spiritually who a virgin is. Go to verse 4. See the way he put it. How you will no longer be a virgin as far as Christ is concerned. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom you have not preached, we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Listen, church. That is defining, giving you a picture. And who is it that will defile you? Go to verse 13 of that same scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 13. He said, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, Satan has ministers to defile the bride of Jesus Christ. If his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. That is how you look at virginity in the spirit. It's a spiritual thing, not a physical thing. And for you to say a minister must marry a virgin, you are going to the Old Testament concerning the high priest. Listen, it is given because it is typing our Lord Jesus Christ. For he is a high priest. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 6 says that he is a high priest called into the order, in the order of who? Melchizedek. Jesus Christ is now the high priest of our profession. And he can only marry a virgin. So that you understand who that virgin is. Praise God. God bless you. Forget that nonsense. Get away from that church. Yes?
Shalom Church. My name is Pius Umawi. I'm from Edo State. A pastor introduced me to this channel, of which, as I begin to watch, I see that there is something good and something great inside.
Thank you.
And as I could not watch, I begin to see, especially when I heard the message of grafting. In fact, I was lost in the spirit.
Clap your hands now. That's the mystery of salvation. Yes.
It was so powerful. So God will bless you and bless the entire members of the church. So, areas where I was not too comfortable is what I want to ask questions. My due respect to our sisters. Because when I watch in the screen, I see choirs, see the women, their dressing and their comportment. I said, okay. But since I came here on Wednesday, I begin to see some differences. Because I'm the type of person that believe that a woman must not put on attachments. And when I look at the Bible, I discover that attachments, or dictionary, attachment is something that is not original with something. So that is why, in where I came out, I can say I came out from deeper life. That is where I was brought up. So now, though they play to her, but I personally never agree with it, because when I now know that attachment is anything that is not original with something. So, though I don't accuse them, I don't go against them. But within me, I disagree with it. So, coming to this place, I've been seeing women, some carry wool, some carry this, or but I felt that, well, it's a mixed multitude. So I may agree with that, but I also believe that there are some members who are here who never really believe that there's anything wrong with it. And not only that, talking about gold, this costly golden pairs that women put on, rings and the rest, I also believe that if it's not good for the ear, it's not also good for other parts of the body. So I wanted to put light on it so that I know where I'm standing. Praise the Lord.
God bless you. Now, when you go to a church, your quarrel should be with the doctrine of the church. Now, in this church, we have tried by all means to preach what is God's standard of righteousness as far as the dressing of both men and women are. And we keep saying it, we continue to say it. Praise God. But you also agree with me that there are mixed multitudes. This is a public place. That's why they were clapping hands for you. So you will have asked me instead, what is our stand concerning those nonsense they do on their hair? But you have had enough that we have taught them is contrary to what the Spirit of God expects now. The second question is ring. Now, listen. We here, we did not speak against gold. I don't know which scripture you have to let us know now where a Christian should not wear gold. Can you give me the scripture?
Okay, let's turn our Bible to. Let's turn our Bible to.
Yes.
1 Timothy chapter 2.
1 Timothy
chapter 2.
Go on, verse.
I promise.
Verse what?
Let me take it from verse 8.
Which verse? From 8 to what?
8, 9.
8 and 9. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Verse 9. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Let me read that verse 9 again. And we must know how to interpret scripture. You must know. Read verse 8. Let me point something in verse 8 for you. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. Does it mean that when you are praying, you must all lift up hands? Answer me now.
No.
What does it mean?
I don't know. That is why I'm asking the
question. You don't know?
No, sir.
You know verse 9. You don't know verse 8.
You are here, sir. That is why you have to throw more light. That is what I said.
No, you see, this is the beginning of your understanding of scripture. Don't jump to a verse and pick it. If you do that, you will soon jam a verse that says, suffer not a witch to live. And you go and kill somebody. I'm saying this because you are from deeper life. And many people have called me to ask me, why am I wearing wedding ring? And I'm speaking against earring. He says, you know, the same gold. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. Read it from verse 1. Let's read it from verse 1. The same thing Apostle Paul was telling Timothy is the same thing Peter was saying here. He said, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husband, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, your appearance now, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair. That is why you are not comfortable that you are seeing people living in deeper life plaiting their hair because of this verse. Let's read on. And of wearing of gold, see where I am going, or of putting on of apparel. What does it mean to put on apparel? Can you tell me the meaning?
I understand it. It's talking about clothes.
Clothes, Abby?
Yes.
So if you will not put on gold, then you should not put on clothes according to that verse. Am I correct? The same verse that says you should not put on gold by your interpretation, that is what it means. Therefore, let no Christian man or woman put on anything gold. The same scripture says you should not put on apparel, that is, don't wear clothes. So, I'm trying to realign your thinking. So, you see, it's Apostle Paul that made it clearer that you adorn yourself in modest apparel. That is, you don't dress to show off. You are modest in everything you do. What he's saying there is your identity. Anytime they say sister this, what is the identity? What do they know you for? They should not be known. When they say sister Ngozi, they say, oh, that one that dresses like this, that makes her hair like this, that wear this type of gold. He said, let this be your identity. The next verse. This is the identity of a Christian woman. The next verse in 1 Peter chapter 3. It says, verse 4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible. See your gold now. Your gold. Your appearance. Even the ornament. What God sees around you as your ornament is the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Let that be your identity. That is the teaching there. And when you talk about gold, it didn't mention silver, Abby. But there are earrings that are made of silver. There are ornaments that are made of silver. So by your interpretation, you can wear silver if you are sincere. See, silver is not mentioned there. Now gold they write. So if my wedding ring wear silver, you shouldn't have problem now because it is not gold. Now when you interpret scripture like that, you will miss it. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now the Bible is against us making any cuttings in our skin. Tattoo. And putting a hole in the ear is making a cutting in your skin. So, Gentiles, that is what they were known for. All manner of appearances. Israel was not so. It was strange in the land of Israel for women to wear a ring. For men to wear a ring. And so in Genesis chapter 35, when God told Jacob to go to Bethel and worship him like he made a vow, the first thing Jacob told his household, because he married some of them from wherever he picked them, put away your strange
gods.
And among the things they put away included earrings. That means earring is strange in Israel, and we are spiritual Israel.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
In Exodus chapter 21, earring was a symbol of a slave that refused freedom. Amen. So we are freeborn, not children of the bond woman. We are not of bondage. Denomination, they are product of bondage. So they can wear their earring because they are in bondage. But when you hear the sound of jubilee, come out of hell, my people. We are freeborn. We are freeborn. Therefore, we cannot be identified with anything that speaks of bondage. Earring is a symbol of bondage, a slave that refused freedom. So it's not wedding ring. Wedding ring is, has a signification. It signifies, it identifies a man or a woman that is married. So when you see her, you want to chase her. The first thing you want to know whether a woman is free or not. And she's young. You look at her finger. What she puts there tells you who she is, her status. She's either engaged or she's already married. And then to the woman, the person wearing that ring, it reminds you of the vow you have exchanged with your husband, with your wife. That is the symbol. And it is a token. It is speaking. Remember, even the physical marriage, everything about the marriage also reflects what is going on in the spiritual marriage between Christ and his bride. So, when you take the name of your husband in water baptism, you used to be called Clara Osai. But you come before a minister and he changes your name to Clara Alu. You put away your old identity. You have a new identity. If a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You put away your old name. Praise the Lord. You take upon yourself the name of your husband. And that is what you do when you enter that water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, indicating you are married to him. Then they will exchange rings as a token. And the token that God will give you is the Holy Ghost. And when Satan comes, he sees the Holy Ghost. He knows you are married to Jesus. He can't come near you again. That is exactly what the ring signifies. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Let me hear my sister.
Shalom, church.
Okay, no problem. Yeah?
Yes?
Bro Chid from Germany.
Chid is from Germany. Go on.
Okay. My question, I have two questions. First of all, I have to compliment the effort about what God is doing with you. He has been bringing a new development in this so-called Christian age. I thank you for your work. My question is, is it right for a minister of God to buy a flight of $55 million while his members don't have what to eat? And another question is, as written in Mark 10:25, where Jesus said by himself, it is easy for a camel to go through the eyes of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Does this have another meaning? Or as it is written here, why do many Christians want to be rich at all costs?
God bless you. The first question you asked, you too, you answer it by yourself. Is it proper that the pastor should live in affluence while the members of the church are in abject want, poverty? You yourself, you answer it by yourself. I don't know what you want me to say. Of course, it is wrong. Your second question. The scripture that says it is easier for the camel to pass through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom. So what is his question? The meaning of that statement? Listen, remember that we have several examples. Christ met a rich young ruler who he tried he used him to see the effect of wealth in the life of a human being. The effect of wealth. Praise the Lord. I think last month or so, I was in Israel. And I went to see a particular spot that is known as the eye of the needle. It is practical. Now, the wall of the city of Jerusalem, the wall, that is a wall in olden days, they built a wall around it for protection. There is the main gate that everyone goes in and out. Then there is a particular gate that is very small. Now it is also strategically built like that. It is very small. Now a camel does not move when she is on her knees. When a camel bends down on her knees, she cannot move unless she stands up. Now the camel is too high to come low and pass through that small gate. That small gate is designed in such a way, they leave it open and then somebody stands there on the other side so that when the enemy cannot come through the gate, you see one entry there. When you try to pass through with your horse, as you put your head there to enter, somebody standing there to cut off your head. So it was a defense system put in there. Now the camel is coming with load to pass, and he must go down. So the camel, we have to be on her four knees. And when it's on the four knees, it's difficult to pass through because it cannot move. That place there is designed that camel cannot pass through. And it is called the eye of the needle. That particular gate. So Christ was using it to see, to demonstrate how difficult also a rich man will enter the kingdom because of his wealth. And he used that small gate. What happens with a camel at that gate? So it is literally a gate. It is literal. God bless you.